Blog Talk Radio.
All right. This is Watchman on the Wall. This is Elder G. Bazaar coming from Warren, Ohio. I'm going on down there in Atlanta, Georgia. And I'm going to get in contact with Blog Talk Radio. And then I'm going on over in Texas. Amen. Tim Jackson coming on with me today. We are back on the air. Man, we've been off for a little bit. We've been doing retapes, but we are here to do a live show. Amen. Keeping the gospel rolling. It's rolling, buddy. I mean, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For at his name, I only bow. At his name, I only confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, that he died on Calvary's cross 2,000 years ago, and he rose from the dead with all power in heaven and earth in his hand, and he is coming back. I mean, capital B-A-C-K. He's coming back to the earth. Amen. In process of coming back to the earth, amen, fulfillment has to occur. Amen. Bible prophecy has to be fulfilled. And guess what? We are right at the dead end. We're at the dead end of what? The rapture of the church is standing in the gateway. Amen. I can see it. I can feel it. I can read about it. It's all in the air. It's in the Word of God. It's on the TV set. It's in the magazine. It's in the newspaper. People don't want to accept it. The devil is getting real tough in trying to turn you away from what? Turn you away from the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, because that's the only way. That's the only way a man can be saved. That's from eternity to eternity. There's no way, there's no other way that a man could be born again unless he come by the cross. My. Man, there's so many false religions and so many false preachers, amen, trying to deviate around God's word, and they're taking people to hell. I mean, they're going by the thousands. They're going every day because people believe in a lie before they believe in the truth. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can get to the Father except he come by Jesus Christ. That's the only way. And I'm here to tell you and let you know, amen, it's time for prayer. It's time to bow our heads in prayer and call on the name of Jesus Christ, so the word of God may be spoken from the word of God, because I don't come nowhere, no other place I can come from than the word of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this opportunity one more time. We thank you for the opportunity for letting us be on the air again, live. And we ask you right now to use my lips of clay. Brother Jackson is coming on. Amen. And he's going to be working with me. Amen. And let's get on and drop the hammer. The hammer is live or die. The only way any individual can be saved is through the blood of Christ, the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. We pray now and forever in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The ball is rolling. The gospel is rolling. And we're here to tell you, amen. Let's get ready. Let's get ready to meet the Lord in the air. Amen. We don't know what day, what hour, but we know one thing. He is coming back. We see all the commotion, and it's a little quiet right now. Amen. But let me tell you what's going behind the Iron Curtain, what's going behind the curtain of Satan, because he's trying to hide something, but he can't hide nothing from the Word of God. We're going to bring it out this evening. Amen, and give you a dire warning. Amen, to all the saints, to all the backsliders, and to all the hypocrites. Amen, we'll give you a dire warning from the word of God. And the warning comes from God Almighty. Repent, 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 or likewise you will perish. Amen, amen. This is Elder Bazaar. So glad to be with you this afternoon. Amen. 5 o'clock. We'll go off at 7 o'clock. Amen. We will be coming from the word of God. We will be coming from the word of God. What's going on today? I know what you're saying. Tell me something. I'm going to tell you something. Amen. Let me tell you something right now. We know Jesus Christ is coming back. We know he's the Son of God. We know that he died and rose again. We know that when he come back, he's coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. We know that the only thing that can clean you up is the blood of Christ. We know that he came from the grave. We know that Satan wants to get rid of the cross. He can't stand the cross because the cross is the only way, amen, man can be saved. No other way man can be saved. So he's trying to eliminate the cross. And he's got motivation speeches. He's got all kind of games to play. The saints of God is playing games. They're having church meetings. They're having church parties. They're having all kind of programs to raise money and funds. Oh, man, they're just trying to have a good time and say, we're going to enjoy the Lord. We're not going to worry about the second coming of God. I mean, this is the church now. If anybody should be on fire for God and his burial, death, and resurrection, and the second coming is the church, but the church is dead. They're sleeping. People are slobbering on themselves. People are grouping around, wondering what's going to happen. But if you read your Bible, amen, it tells you exactly what's going to happen. Christ is going and getting ready to do what? Rapture the church. The rapture is right online. It's the next big event other than World War III. And World War III will open up the gateway at the rapture. When the rapture occurs, then World War III will get it on. Woo! It will be Putin. It will be NATO. It will be five nations that will join the Russian bear and come down from the northern part into Israel and try to conquer the Middle East. That's the big plan in the chapter of 38 and 39th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. That's the big plan for the bear. The bear is Russia. The fierce bear is getting ready to make his move. But it can't make his move until the glorious body of Jesus Christ be excommunicated. I want you to get a hold of that. I want you to hold that, because now Ukraine is about wiped out. Amen. Ukraine is almost in the full hand of the Russian bear. The Russian bear is continually pounding Ukraine with bombs, and people are finally digging it out. They got to leave the country because Russia needs that country to reunite it with Russia itself to make it a more powerful gateway for them to come down from the north. I'm here to tell you the truth. I'm here to let you know. You don't have to worry about, I guess it's going to be a World War III. I think it's going to be a, no, there's going to be a World War III, and God is going to step in and do what? He's going to step in and defend his holy people. And his holy people is Israel. Israel will be defended by God Almighty, because there won't be no nation up on the planet that will be able to stop Russia. The only one, the only unique one is Elohim. The only unique one is Jehovah. The only unique one is Yahshua. The only one that's going to defend Israel is the true Messiah, the Son of the Living God. And now we're standing in the gateway. What is going on in the Middle East? Number one, listen to me. The number one thing that they're working on right now and people are wondering about is the Antichrist alive. If he's alive, where is he? If he's alive, how old is he? If he's alive, how tall is he? If he's alive, what's his motive to do? If he's alive, where did he come from? If he's alive, what is he planning to do to the world after the body of Christ is removed? Well, I'm here to tell you, the Antichrist definitely is alive, a full-grown man. The Bible says in the book of Daniel that he is called the 11th horn, spoken by who? Daniel the prophet. Daniel the prophet saw a 11th horn come up. Ooh, because the 10 other horns represent the 10 European common market nations. And since they represent the 10 European common market nations, and Daniel saw this 2,600 years ago, he told us that he will be the one that will what? Son of perdition, the wicked one, the one that will sit in the temple, the one that will sign a peace treaty with Israel, the one that will make a covenant with Israel, the one that will say that he's God Almighty, the one that's coming on the scene is alive right now, and he can't do nothing. He can't do nothing right now. Why? Because the body of Christ is here. Since the body of Christ is here, the church of the living God should be announcing what's getting ready to happen. You understand what I'm saying? The church should be announcing to the world that the Antichrist is here and he's coming only after the rapture. He cannot come now. He cannot come on the world scene until after the rapture. And he's coming from the Middle East. The 11th horn represent. Listen to me what I'm saying. Now listen, this is real. Brother Bazaar is not lying to you. Brother Bazaar is not going on his own hearsay. Brother Bazaar is not making this stuff up. Brother Bazaar is not preaching some false doctrine from the Bible, because the word of God is true. And the Bible has already told me, don't add nothing to the word of God and don't take nothing out of the word of God. For if you take anything out of the word of God, I'll take your name out of the book of life. I will, if you add anything, I'll add the plagues that's in this book. So Brother Bazaar is not playing with God, and God is not playing with me. He needs somebody to announce it. He needs the preachers. Amen. He needs the deacons. He needs every, my God, every church member. Amen. If they've been born again, should be on the wise and look at the condition of our world and of this generation that we're living in, because definitely we are living in the last generation. This is the last generation. There's no other generation after this one. I said, do you hear me out there? There's no other generation after this. When do this generation close? This generation closed after 80 years. That's a full generation. But a generation is known in the Bible as 70 years. That's a generation, but it's not a full generation. So what generation are we living in? The last generation. When do this generation end? This generation ends in 2029, going in 2030, ends this generation. This generation started it in 1948. It will end in 2029, between 2029 and 2030. You got that? That's 80 years, one generation. And that generation now is getting ready to come to a close. But before this generation is over, there's got to be a seven-year tribulation. There has to be a seven-year tribulation of judgment up on the earth. In other words, man has to be judged during the seven-year tribulation. We are at the brink of the opening of the book of Revelation, when Revelation will kick off, and it won't kick off until the body of Christ is removed from the planet. After it is removed from the planet, that will start the tribulation period. There's two parts of the tribulation period. The first part will come on a peace plan. That's 3.5 years. It will be a fake peace plan. And the last 3.5 years will end up in disaster, because that's when the mark of the beast will institute world domination. In the middle of the second tribulation, there will be a marking that will be started by the beast. The beast will initiate. It will be an executive order put out worldwide. Did you hear what I said? Worldwide marking system. This marking system will be instituted by the beast after the Antichrist is assassinated in the middle of the tribulation period. After he is assassinated, there will literally be a war in heaven where Lucifer will fight against the Michael and his angels, and the dragon and the old serpent and the devil called Beelzebub will battle in the heavenlies. In the first and second heaven, there will be a battle like never before. It will be a spiritual battle. Let me take a breather. A spiritual battle where literally Michael and his host of angels will actually fight against the serpent, the red dragon, the devil, Satan himself, the Luciferians, the demonic demons will fight against Michael and his angels, and they will be struggling to stay in the first and second heaven because no longer Lucifer has any right in the third heaven. The third heaven is where God sits his throne. The third heaven is higher than the highest. The third heaven is where God abode. But now Satan has jurisdiction of the first and second heaven, and it's time for him to come down to earth. He's coming down here. Can't you feel the wickedness on this planet? Can't you feel the degradation of this planet? Can you feel the iniquity and the wickedness and the debauchery of mankind, where men have become barbarians, men have become so wicked, men have become so dead to righteousness and so dead to the love of God and so dead to holiness and so dead to just about everything that pertains to God? Can't you feel the agony of getting up in the morning, don't know what's going to get ready to happen? Because let me tell you, we are definitely in the last hour just before the rapture. I'll take a pause on that. The last 3.5 years, the very last 3.5 years, will be hell in high waters. It will be so bad that men will turn against their own family. Children will turn against their parents. Parents against their children. It will be so devastating that men will not be able to bear the agony and the trauma that's going to hit this planet. It's going to cause earthquakes. It's going to cause volcanoes. It's going to be called civil wars in the streets where people will actually shoot down each other. It will be so bad that it will be unfit for anybody to live in. But yet still God and his mercy will give the last 3.5 years of giving mankind to choose who he's going to serve. And we're going to find out who the ones are. Because when this marking system comes, when the mark of the beast comes, when the computer chip is made an executive order, when men will have to be stamped or put a computer chip between their finger, their thumb and their index finger, and on their foreheads. Because the only way that you are going to be able to buy and sell, you must receive the mark of the beast. And the Antichrist, before he comes, the beast, and after Satan falls from heaven and comes to earth, the Antichrist will be assassinated by a bullet in the head. It will be televised. It will be on YouTube. It will be on Instagram. It will be on CBS. It will be on NBC. It'll be on MSNBC. It'll be on every news media that the world has put in orchestrated. It will be so devastating that everybody on the planet will see and hear what's going on in the Middle East. And the Antichrist, after he is resurrected, now listen, after the resurrection of the Antichrist, he becomes the beast. And he becomes the beast. He turns in the full blossom because Satan, now this is what Satan's planning to do. He's planning to incarnate himself in the body, the dead body of the Antichrist. And when Satan, the low-down, dirty, cutthroat, backbiter, murderer, liar, he incarnates himself into the Antichrist and he becomes the beast. When he becomes the beast, he will demand that the world will worship him. And that's what Satan wants. He wants the world to worship him. He wants the world to bow down to him. He wants the world to follow him. He wants the world to say, look, I have no opportunity to be redeemed. I have no opportunity to go to heaven. I have no opportunity nowhere from here to eternity and on the other side of eternity to be redeemed. I am doomed. Listen what he said. Satan is doomed for hell's fire. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to try to get everybody I can to follow me. I'm going to try to get the world to reject the burial, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm trying to get the world to go to hell with me. I'm trying to get the world to disbelieve in the word of God and have our own decision whether they want to go to heaven or whether they want to go to hell. But I'm going to make sure that I try to stop everybody, but he can't do it. And so now he's only going to take the ones that follow him. Now, only two ways you can be. Only two ways. You can be a follower of Satan or you can be a follower of Christ. Those that are followers of Satan are those that have never been born again. Uh-oh, listen to what I'm saying. Those that have never been born again are followers of Satan. You are a follower of Satan. You are a worshiper of Satan. And when you worship Satan, you're worshiping him in disbelief. In other words, if you don't believe, listen to what I'm saying now, because this is serious. If you disbelieve and reject Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are a follower of Satan. Because that's what Satan wants you to do. You are bound down to what he is telling you to do, and he's telling you, don't worry about repenting from your sins. You go ahead and do what you want to do. And when you do what you want to do out of the reach of God and out of the will of God and walking in disbelief, you are on your way to hell. Lord, have mercy. Let me tell you something. A lot of good moral people that got good intentions to live right and do right are going to hell. They're going to hell because they won't repent and believe on Jesus Christ. They will not confess with their mouth. They won't believe with their heart. They won't repent of their sin. They won't turn from their wickedness. They won't turn from their unbelief. Why? Because they believe that they can go to heaven without being what? Born again. And the devil knows it. Every demon in hell knows it. Every cohort knows it. Every Nephilim knows it. Every wicked spirit that Satan has groomed up, amen, believe. Listen, if I can keep you away from the shed blood of Jesus Christ, of his suffering, of his death, and of him going, and Satan said he came down here in hell and told me all power in heaven and earth is in his hand, and he took from Satan, and Satan knows it, he took the death of hell, keys of death, hell, and the grave away from him, and he was resurrected on the third day morning, and Satan now, amen, is a prince, power of the air, and the only thing he can do, the only thing that Satan can do is kill, rob, and destroy. He can't do nothing else. And he is a wicked, fallen, anointed, used to be an anointed cherubim. And he is so wicked. He is so wicked that there's no way in heaven or in hell that he can ever get a relationship with God Almighty. Never. never means never. If I say that once, it means forever. Satan cannot be redeemed. He cannot be saved. He cannot be sanctified. He cannot be justified. He cannot accept the blood of Jesus Christ because he's unredeemable. Ooh, but you are redeemable. You can be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ, and Satan knows it, and he's keeping away those that want to come to the cross. He's putting everything else in front of them. He's putting everything in to keep them away. And let me tell you, going to church is good, but going to church cannot save your soul. You can go to church for 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years. If you have never repented of your sins and turned to Jesus Christ, you die today, or you die tomorrow, or you die next year, or you die tonight. If you have never had a divine relationship with Jesus Christ through his blood, and you die without, now you can listen to what I'm saying, without Christ, you will burn in hell, period. No ifs, no ands, and no buts about it. Satan knows this. Satan knows this. And he knows whether you're saved or you're not saved. God knows if you're saved or not saved. And yourself knows if you're saved and not saved, because you're not going to heaven on your works. You're not going to heaven on your good looks. You're not going to heaven on the clothes you wear. You're not going to heaven on the tithes and offerings you spend. You're not going to heaven because you're educated. You're not going to heaven for no way outside of the blood of Jesus Christ can you enter the kingdom of God. Make no different race, creed, or color, ethnic background you come from. You can be white. You can be black. You can be Chinese. You can be Russian. You can be Spanish. You can be Jew. You can be everything nationality that you can think of. Your nationality has nothing to do with your salvation, because the Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation that once was delivered into the saints of God? The saints of God. And now, Satan is saying, I ain't got nothing but a little time left. In the middle of the tribulation period, you know how many years Satan got left before he goes to the bottomless pit? In the middle of the 3 1/2 years, he only got 3 1/2 years in the latter part of the tribulation. He only got 3 1/2 years to do his work and to deceive men before he goes into the bottomless pit. And when the rapture comes and Christ takes the church, he only got 7 years. The first 3 1/2 years is going to be a fake, phony, quack peace plan. It ain't going to hold water. And the Jews, hallelujah, praise God, thank you, Jesus, the Jews are preparing now and have been preparing for the last 15 years. 20 years, they have been planning, and it's in their spirit, it's in their mind, it's in their soul. They got to have a temple. The Jews have to build a temple. The last temple that existed in Jerusalem was 70 AD, and the Roman government destroyed that temple because the rebellion of the children of Israel. And so the Jews have never had a temple since 70 A.D. 70 A.D., the temple was destroyed, and it's been 2,600 years, not counting the 600 years, 606 B.C. is when the Jews went into captivity. And so now the Jews got it in their spirit and it's printed in their mind to the pit of their heart and soul. We got to have a temple. Why? Because they have to have a place to worship. And when the Antichrist comes, he's going to verify that the Jews have a right to build what? The third temple. The third temple. It's been in preparation right now to rebuild the third temple for the third time, and for the last time that Jerusalem will have a temple to worship. But let me tell you something. This temple is not going to hold. This temple is going to be destroyed. The Antichrist is going to sit in the temple and cause abomination and desolation. He's going to what? He's going to try to sit in the temple and claim the Godhead of God. He's going to try to claim that he is God. And this is the Antichrist that will try to tell the world that he is God after the resurrection. He won't say he's God until after the resurrection, because the fake, quack resurrection that Satan is going to do is going to dazzle the world, going to dazzle the world so awesome that the world is going to say, who is like the beast and who is able to make war with him? I'm going to get some scriptures for that. Amen. The reason I'm not using a whole lot of scriptures because I can say more and finding a whole lot of scriptures for you. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to get the 13th chapter of Revelation and show you the middle of the tribulation period, what happens in the middle of the tribulation when Satan is incarnated in the Antichrist and he becomes and try to take the place of God Almighty. 13th chapter. This is the middle of the tribulation. This is after Satan is cast out of heaven. This is during the time that the Antichrist will be assassinated. And after the war in heaven and Satan is cast to the earth, well, when he is cast to the earth, he will have the authority of God Almighty to what? Do a fake, phony resurrection of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and the world will do this. This is what the world going to do. Listen at the 13th chapter. John wrote on the island of Patmos, he said, and I stood up on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, rise up out of humanity, rise up out of the nations of the world, and having seven heads and 10 horns, and up on the horns, 10 crowns. The ten heads represent the seven heads represent the seven world empires. The seven world empires represent Egypt, the Assyrian Empire, the Babylonian Empire, the Median Persian Empire, the Grecian Empire, and the Roman Empire. That are the seven heads. And the 10 horns represent the 10 European common market known as NATO. That's the government. That's the organization of the government. The 10 horns represent the 10 European common market. And up on the horns, 10 crowns represent the 10 authority of crowns that the 10 horns will have. They will have the authority. And up on his head, the name of blasphemy. The blasphemy represents that this year government and this year one world order will be under the influence of the devil. The devil. The devil. Beelzebub. Satan. The old red dragon. The one that was cast out of heaven is now orchestrating the world government, and this world government will be against the government of God. And let me tell you, they will blaspheme heaven, they will blaspheme God, and they will blaspheme the church. So he hates the church. He hates Jesus Christ. He hates God Almighty. And now he's defiant to raise up a world government that will last for only, what, 3.5 years in the latter part of the government, because his government is coming down. And it says this. I'm going to go back over that and refine that that first verse. It said, I stood up on the sands of the sea. The sea represents humanity. Remember that. The humanity of mankind. And I saw the beast rise up out of the sea. So this beast, this Antichrist, will come up out of the nations of the world, having seven heads, the seven world empires that had lasted up to the last one, which was Rome, and Rome fell. And Rome was revived back in 1948. And since then, the Roman Empire has grew up into what? Ten horns. The ten horns represent, as I said, the ten European common market. And the horns, ten crowns, authority. And up on the head, the name of blasphemy. repulsive against God Almighty. The devil hates God so much. He hates God so much that he's willing to wipe out the whole human race. Oh, y'all don't hear me. He'll kill babies. He'll kill anybody. He'll rape. He'll drop bombs on nations. He will poison people. He will rape people. He will do anything to make God so angry, to try to make God give up on saving the world. And we know the whole world is not going to be saved. No, the whole world is not going to be saved. Very few are going to make it into the glory. Very few. Not that God can't save nobody. No, God can save anybody who wants to be saved. But if you don't want to be saved, God can't save you. He's not going to press against you. He's not going to make you repent. You got to repent according to how the Spirit talks to your heart, and you know the goodness of God, because the goodness of God leads you into repentance. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. God loves everybody. He wants to see everybody get saved, but he can't save you against your will. Get that now. Because if you go to hell, God ain't putting nobody in hell that don't want to go. And if you don't want to go, you need to accept Christ Jesus. You need to come to the cross. You need to repent at the foot of the cross. You need to humble yourself. You need to call on the name of the Lord right now and say, Jesus, Lord God Almighty, I want to be saved. I want to accept your Son. I don't want to go to hell. No, I'm going to tell you that. I don't want to go to hell. And I'm not going to hell. I'm not going to hell, not on how good I am or how bad I am or how sinful I am. I'm not going to hell over there. I'm going to hell over of my rejection of Jesus Christ. If I die in rejecting Jesus Christ and cursing Jesus Christ and denying Jesus Christ, and I die in that condition without getting my soul sanctified and justified and edified by the blood of Jesus Christ and die in my sin, I'm going to hell. But Christ dies for me. If he died for you, you ought to prove it. And the way you can prove it is that you repent and say, Lord, save my soul. Because let me tell you, hell is hot. Hell is burning. Hell is a liquid fire. Hell is a place called Gehenna. And Gehenna and hell is two different places. Hell is hot. It's the waiting room for all the wicked dead. But the wicked dead have to be resurrected again. And when they're resurrected, they're going to stand before the great white throne, the great white throne found in the 20th chapter of Revelation. The great white throne means that every wicked person that ever lived on the face of this planet is going to stand before the great white throne, and they're going to be judged according to their works, what they have done in their wicked situation, what they have done all their life. And when you die your sins, you're going to have to pay for your own sins. And if you pay for your own sin, the Bible said the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So if you die without Jesus Christ in your life, you are going to pay for your own sin, and you have to pay in hell where there is a liquid fire. There is a million, I don't know how many thousands of degrees of heat that you will burn. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Lord Jesus, have mercy on the souls. Have mercy on the souls before they die. Let the whole world cry out to the Lord, because the Bible says those that forget God, those that reject God, those that ignore God will be turned into hell. That means every nation that rejects God will be turned into hell and forget God. And the world has forgotten about God. But there's a day coming when every man, boy, and girl is going to answer. And the last answer will be at the great white throne where the books were opened. Then another book was opened. And he said after these books was opened, they was judged the things that were written in the book. And he said the names that were not found in the book of life, all those names that were not in the book of life, didn't live for Christ, never accepted Jesus Christ, never repented of their sin, did all kind of wicked things and died in their sin. He said they all was cast into the lakes of fire that burns with brimstone. My God, this is rude. This is mind-boggling. This is beyond my mind can comprehend. I can't comprehend it. And you know what else I can't comprehend? I cannot even hardly, it's hard for me to comprehend the birth, death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God himself gave his only begotten son. He didn't have no mother son. He gave his own son that through his birth, death, and the resurrection, he could save me from hell. Because he don't want me to go to hell. So he died for me. He suffered for me. He come out the grave for me. He went back to heaven for me. He's coming back again for me. If I've been born again, he's going to rapture me up one glad morning. When this life is over, I'm going to fly away. Woo, hallelujah, praise God. In just a few more days, I'm going to fly away just because what Christ done for me. And he done the same thing for you. Don't go to hell, man, woman, boy, a girl, young folks, postman, football player. I don't care what's your status quo, rich, poor, ugly, pretty, don't go to hell. Christ went to hell for you. Came back out of hell. Took the sting out of death. Now, men can come to Jesus Christ. But men don't want Jesus Christ. 13th chapter of Revelation. I ain't through yet. Let's see what it says. It says, up on his head, blaspheming. And the beast, the animalistic beast, because Satan is a beast. And when he's in control with man, man becomes a beast. Man is crazy. Man is rude. Man is stiff-necked. Man is rebellious. Man is a murderer. Man is a liar. Man is a whorish man. Man, women are prostitutes. Men, born with men, women with women. Man is went crazy. Crazy, full of demons and devils and doing what they want to do. And guess what? If Christ don't pay for your sins, you want to pay for your own. And the beast, which I saw, was like a leopard. A leopard represents swiftness. A leopard represents swiftness. The Antichrist, the beast, is going to be swift. It's going to be so swift to make your head swim. A leopard is the fastest land animal that can run up to 70 miles an hour. Nothing can hardly outrun a leopard. The Antichrist is going to be so swift. He's going to talk a whole lot of jive. He's going to talk a whole lot of lies. He's going to be so swift, it's going to make people's heads swim. And the world loves lies. And when people hear lies, they believe a lie before they believe in the truth because they receive not the love of the truth. And the love of the truth is that Jesus Christ died for your sins.
That amen.
You can have eternal life. You can have eternal life through Jesus Christ. And Christ says, I come to give you life. Satan comes to say, I come to destroy. Ha ha. I come to kill. I come to rob you of everything you got. And the devil is robbing church folks. He's robbing the world. He's robbing your soul. He's trying to damn your soul to go to hell and burn forever. And I'm not biting my lip on this. Hey, I'm not biting my lip. I'm telling you the truth. And the truth don't feel good when you know you're on your way to hell.
Mm-hmm.
About hell. You just want to hear some motivation speeches, some old crackpot preachers jumping up talking about, I got the answer. He ain't got no answer. If he had the answer, he wouldn't be there where he is. But he's there trying to jive you. And the devil works smooth. He's a smooth operator. He knows how to operate. You don't know. If you are not sound, rooted, and grounded in the word of God, if you've not been washed by the blood of the Lamb, guess what? He got you. He got you. Livestock, barrel, and all. And the world is saying, you know, I'm going to get a little vulgar right here. And if you don't want to listen to it, man, you can shut me off. Well, the world is saying to God Almighty, the hell with you. I don't want nothing to do with this so-called crowd. That's what the devil got people doing. I'm just going to go to church. I'm going to drink. I'm going to gamble. I'm going to cuss the preacher out if I don't like it. I'm going to wear my fine clothes and act like I'm somebody. I'm going to drive my fine cars. I'm going to sit up in the church and say, Lord, Lord, and don't know nothing about the Lord. I'm going to do all that and go through the motions and die and go to hell. Because let me tell you, without the Spirit of Christ in your soul, without the Holy Ghost walking in you and talking to you, you're on your way to hell. Because the only way you can get saved is through the blood. No blood, no salvation. No blood, no joy. No blood, no hope. No blood, no love. How can you say you love God and you hate your brother? You are a liar and the truth is not in him. And no liars would enter the kingdom of God. No backbiters. No kind of person will go to heaven and down in other folks and lying on other folks and having a form of godliness. They ain't got no power, no more power to know how to pray. Can't pray. Don't fast. Don't seek souls of others and let them know, hey, man, you ain't right. You know Jesus Christ. I ain't talking about what you doing and ain't doing. Do you know Jesus Christ is your person? Do you know him? If you don't know him, you need to know him. And I know I know him because I know I passed the test of life. I know that without even looking in the dictionary and find out what love is, because God's love is astronomical. Ooh, it's unbelievable. It's unique.
Amen.
Because when he died, that wasn't no small death. That was the greatest death that God became flesh and died as a human being, suffered as a human being, felt what a human being, went through the temptation like a human being, felt every pain that a human can feel, know what sin was like. And it was so hard on him that when he got in the Garden of Gethsemane and felt the weight of every low-down, dirty, rotten, cutthroat sin, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me.
Amen.
He said, if there's another way, if I can go through the, if I can catch a railroad train and go another way, if I can catch a Greyhound bus and go another way, if I can catch a jet plane and go another way, let it be. He said, not my will, good God Almighty, not my will, but your will be done. But God himself never felt anything like this through his son. And he had to become human. He had to have a blood system. He had to have a heart. He had to have lungs. He had to have veins. He had to have everything that a man has. The fear of the awesome of the lying tongue that you done done, that whoremonger you done done, that backbiter you done done, that night living you done done. You go to church on Sunday morning and Friday and Saturday, you whoremongering. Church folks, preachers, messing with the congregation, stuff like that. You ain't going nowhere. Righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. And America is suffering the reproach of when you deny God, when the government deny God, when the school system deny God, when the families deny God and think he ain't going to do nothing. Yes, he is. He's doing something right now. He's shaking the world. He's shaking the churches. He's shaking preachers. Woo! He's shaking deacons and sisters and secretaries and mailmen. He's shaking the whole world. Folks walking around here like ain't nothing going to happen. Well, you a fool if you think you're going to get away with the mess that you try to hand God. Because God ain't going to take anything. He's only going to take what? He's only going to take those that repent of their sins and turn from that low-down wickedness you're doing. And come on out and humble yourself. Because you got to humble. Because God resists the proud and he gives base to the humble. If you walk around with your chest all stuck out, thinking, huh, you somebody, you ain't nobody but a lump of clay with the soul of God that he gave you walking inside of you. And God said, I want the soul. I want the soul. I want that spirit. And you rebelling against God, well, you ain't going to get me now. I ain't ready for that. I'll wait for a little while longer. I think I'm all right. That's a bunch of hogwash. That's satanic keeping you away from the salvation of Jesus Christ. Woo! Listen to what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying.
Amen.
This is saying here, the leopard means swiftness. This Antichrist is going to be swift. He's going to be so swift, make your head swim, as I said. And his feet were as
see a bear. This Antichrist is going to be like a bear. He's going to be vicious. In the middle of the tribulation period, he's going to be so vicious that you would rather have a bear catch you than this year guy catch you. Because this Antichrist is going to be, his authority is going to be like a bear. He's going to swipe his paw across the civilization of time, and he's going to wipe out anybody that rejects Jesus Christ. You reject Jesus Christ, the Antichrist is going to wipe you off the face of the earth. Why? Because he's got a number system that's coming up. It's already here, called the mark of the beast. The Bible speaks of it from the last 2,600 years. Men have preached about it. Preachers now, they don't want to preach because they tell me it's scared of people. Well, you need the hell scared out of you. You need some fright to know what judgment is going to be like. Because it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of an angry God. God got an angry side, and he's got a merciful side. And there's more mercy on the side of mercy than there is a wrath, because his wrath is going to be short and quick. God said, I'm through with it. I don't gave man 6,000 years to recognize who I am. And we got clowns walking around here talking about there ain't no God. And if there's a God, let him come down here and touch me. And if there's a God, how come I'm having so much problem? Well, the reason you have so much problem is because you won't acknowledge him. And the world today is not acknowledging them. That's why America's having so many problems, because they want to acknowledge who God is. The police ain't going to straighten nobody out. The government ain't going to straighten nobody out. Drugs ain't going to straighten nobody out. Homosexuality ain't going to straighten nobody out. None of this mess that's going on in the world today is going to straighten anybody out. So why are you getting up in the morning scared to death to go outside, scared to go down the road? The reason why, you need to turn from your wickedness. Listen, a bear is the most ferocious animal there is. He says, and his mouth has a mouth of a lion. Lion is the king of the jungle. A lion has the authority over the jungle. Just the roar of a lion, the other animals tremble. Why? Because the lion is the king of the jungle. And this Antichrist is going to be like a lion. He's going to speak, and those wicked men, I'm talking about wicked men, are going to tremble at this man that's getting ready to come on the scene. This man is like no other man that ever was on this planet. You can take all the dictators. You can take all the totalitarianism. You can take all the communists and all the rotten governments that's up on the front and put them together. Well, this Antichrist will be who? This Antichrist will be the raw devil. The raw devil in the flesh. And he's going to have control of every continent on the planet. He's going to rule the world for a 3.5-year period. And he's going to be hell on top of the earth, underneath of the earth. And God is going to permit this to let men know who he is. Because men don't want to know who Jesus Christ is. God said, all right, I'm going to give you somebody that you will worship it. You want the devil? I'm going to let him come down here. And when he come down here, he's going to do what you thought. He was your friend, but he's your enemy. And listen what it says. Woo! Good God Almighty. Listen. It says here, and it gave him power and his seat of great authority. Great authority. You know, greater authority that this man will have. And his authority will be to every woman, boy, and girl, every old person, he will have authority over their lifestyle. Either two things you can do. Either you receive the mark and worship him the rest of your life in sin, die, and go to hell if you receive the mark. If you refuse the mark and put your faith in Jesus Christ during the last part of the 3.5 years, you can receive eternal life by being beheaded by the guillotine. And the guillotine is in America now. The guillotine, 60,000 guillotines and more coming over here. During the tribulation period, they're going to be shipping them over here. And anybody that's left after the rapture of the church going to have to face the guillotine or the beast. And majority of the world, Lord have mercy. Good God Almighty, majority of the world will wander after the beast. Let's see what the Bible says. Let me, come on now. Talk to me. Talk to me. It says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death. This wound is the assassination of the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will be assassinated. But it says here, a wounded to death. In other words, he's going to be killed. Like J.F. Kennedy, like Abraham Lincoln, like the presidents have been shot and been assassinated, and attempts have been made on presidents' lives that the people didn't want it. Well, this Antichrist is going to be shot dead for 3 days. Amen. Here comes the devil with his imitation. He wants to imitate Christ. He wants to be like Christ. He wants to do miracles like Christ. He wants to be Christ, but he can't be Christ. He's anointed cherubim, fallen, wicked, low down, cutthroat, no good, don't trust him, don't give him the time of the day that you're going to get up. Don't give him nothing. Don't cry to him. If you have problems, don't go to him. Don't go to your friend. Go to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Because number one, deadly wound. This is what it says. It says, and it said, it was healed. In other words, he was resurrected. And listen, and all, A-L-L, my God, you what do you mean? You don't understand the A or the L. It means all the world wondered after the peace. People today are wondering after entertainment. They're wondering after what? They're wondering after gambling. They're wondering after whorish attitude. They're warning that they're going after fornication. They're going after child pornography. They're going after killing and slaughtering babies and have a right to slaughter their own children. The people today don't have no care for life of divine providence of God that he gave man to produce life. They want to wipe them off the face. The devil said, now look, this is what I want y'all to do. And guess what? The world is doing it. Church folk, come on, church folk, get up. Wake up. You're slobbering. You're sleepy. Preaching. Quit trying to please people. The word of God says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It'll cut you up down to the marrow and to the son of man's bone. It'll get into your marrow, your bone, and make you realize, but buddy, you're a hell-bound soldier. You're going to hell over your own sins because you won't come to the loving Christ. You won't bow your stiff neck to the love of Christ. You won't bow your crusty knees or your black knee or your white knee or your Jew to Jesus Christ, because every crooked tongue, every lying tongue, every dirty tongue is going to confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Every knee is going to bow down. The knees of Satan and Lucifer and all his cohorts and the Nephilims and the demons and the scorpions and the black hole and the CERNs. CERN is working on opening up the portal to let these demons out. They're going to bow. They're going to fall down. Every wicked thing is going to fall down on their knees. And every saint, every preacher, every evangelist is going to fall down on their knees, including G.E. Bazaar, George E. Bazaar. And let me tell you something. I'm falling on my knees now. I'm falling on my knees now, brother, sister. Woo-hoo-hoo. I'm confessing him now, and I ain't going to stop confessing him because he's the Lord, God Almighty in the flesh. Listen to what it says. It says, and all the world wondered after the beast, and they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. The dragon is the devil that gave power to the beast, which is the Antichrist. So the world is going to worship a man that's influenced by the devil. And guess what? They're worshiping in music. They're worshiping all kinds of new kinds of secret societies. They're worshiping masonry. They're worshiping in the Illuminatis and the Luciferians, they'll worship him and they'll bow down. They're burning their babies. They're offering the sacrificing babies. They're drinking their blood. They're eating their flesh. They're taking these babies that they aborted and use it for scientific experiments. They're trying to make money out of dead babies that they don't cut out of a woman's womb and threw it in the trash can. And God said, I'm angry.
Amen.
I'm angry. I'm upset. Because I already don't gave you the word. I don't gave you my son. I don't gave you the Holy Spirit. I don't gave you all the power that you need to live above that. And people say, the hell with it. I don't want it. And people don't got so bold now. They say, I'll die. I'll go to hell, buddy. But you ain't going to. I'll go to hell. No, you won't. When you get on the edge of that cliff, and when they pick you up and drop you into hell, you'll be crying out the, oh, my God, I am a fool and a double fool. Why? Because I thought I knew it, and you didn't know nothing. And the world is saying, Isaiah 5:14 says, hell has enlarged herself. It's getting bigger every day. Folks dying on the highways. Dying from drugs, dying from porno, dying from every known wicked thing that you can think of, dying because somebody opened their mouth about somebody. Somebody got mad and shot them. People just shooting folks for nothing. They're shooting because they don't want to live. Why? Because men have forsaken the God of heaven. And when you forsake the God of heaven, hell will be your home. And the world is saying, come on with it.
But let me Amen.
And I'm so glad I hear my brother's voice, and it just took me up to a little higher. I'm going to preach this word, amen, because I know he's enjoying it, amen. And it's not
amen.
Me speaking, it's the word of God speaking. It's speaking right from the book of Revelation. It says here, and they worshiped the dragon and gave power into the beast, and they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Who in the world, in the planetary system, in the galaxy, in the quasars, in the stars, who is able to overcome this beast? No human being can whoop the devil. You hear what I said? No human being, no man, I don't care how much education, cannot whoop the devil. You can't
Amen.
Beat him. He's too smart for you. He's smarter. He's smarter than the average, the average physicist, the average philosopher, theologian. Nobody
That's right.
can fight against the devil and win. There's only one man. God Almighty out of Zion. There's only one man that can whoop the devil like man whooping a slave. And that
Amen.
Is Jesus Christ is the only one that can defeat Satan. I know what I'm talking about. Because Satan had me one day running around doing my own thing. Thought I was Mr.
Amen.
H. Thought I was the man that came from heaven with gold on me. Yeah, want the women to follow. Want the women to do what I say. Had a little money in my pocket. Thought I was it. Until I met Jesus. Until I met Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I found out I was nothing. But Jesus Christ made me something. And when he made me a high priest. He made me a son of God. He made me a redeemed one. He made me a saint of God. He made me a new life, a new way, a new walk, a new love. So let me tell you, whoever's out there listening to this here program, you can't whip the devil. You can't outsmart the devil. You better come to Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil make a dummy out of you, because he will doing it, and he's doing it in the churches. He's doing it in Hollywood. He's doing it in programs. He's doing it in secret society, making dummies out of people because people think they're so smart and beyond God. Listen to what it says here. It says here, the fifth verse says, and there was given to him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemy, and power was given to him to continue 42 months. I'm gonna read this out, and I'm gonna give it over to my brother. Amen. And let him come on in here. I'm so glad I hear his voice. Amen. He's encouraged to me, and I hope I'm encouraged to him, because we got to do this thing until the end. And we ain't got too much longer. I'm gonna tell you that one. We don't have too much longer to do this. It is so close. Amen. I feel it in my bones. A lot of people say, what you talking about, preacher? Well, I've been on this thing for 57 years. I've been preaching this gospel.
Amen.
Like amen. I've been on the air for 16 years. I couldn't get into some church. The preachers don't want to hear what God has given me.
That's right.
I'm a last day man. I'm a last day man. I was born in 48, the last generation. 4 years before 48 come, I was born in 1944. So 48 came, I was 4 years old. I seen this generation come and go. And it's done got worse than that. Until right now, man, I don't say, Lord, you're so good. You're so good.
Yes,
that you let me do this moment. You're so merciful. You're so kind. You're so forgiving. And I said, Lord, I want to show this mercy to the world. I want to show it to my friends. Man, you need to be saved. I don't care what you think you're going to do. You ain't going to do nothing right until you receive Christ in your life. 42
Amen.
Months, that last part of the 7-year tribulation, will be the close of the last generation. 2029 will end 80 years, one generation. And the world is getting worse and worse. And it's going to get worse. And now, I want to recognize that Apostle Paul said, if you confess with your mouth, you got a mouth, and you can talk about anything you want to. And a lot of people talk about foolishness. But let me tell you something. If you want to talk about something, you need to confess the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. If you like to talk a lot, talk about Jesus, because that's the only thing that can save you. Nobody else can save you. Your mama, your daddy, your sister, your bishop, your uncle, your in-laws, your outlaws, or your friends, or your boyfriend, or your girlfriend, whatever. Nobody can save you like Jesus Christ. Nobody. And the world is going after each other. They think each other can take care of each other. But you can't take care of nobody. Nobody can take care of you but Jesus Christ. And that is save your soul. The last 3.5 years, as I close for this session, I'm going to let Brother Jackson come on in and drop the hammer. I want him to drop it. Amen. And if it dropped on me, good. If I need a cup of wax by the word of God, amen, because I know one thing, if it hit me, that means I got to get better. But my friends, I'm closing with this. This Antichrist is alive, as I said, coming from the 11th horn, and the 11th horn is Spain. And Spain has a man now, 6'6". His name is King Felipe, and he's the king of Spain right now, and he's in the gateway. He's in the doorway, getting ready to go to Jerusalem. And he can't go to Jerusalem until the rapture of the church. And the Jews are preparing a temple for him. And they believe that building this temple and this Antichrist will make a covenant with them. The Jews are going to believe that he is the Messiah, but he is a liar. In the middle part of the tribulation, he's going to be turned to beast. And I want to let you know, you don't get this in church. You don't get this kind of teaching in church anymore. You get a sermon, a 30-minute sermon, and a couple of amens, and folks are out the door. Don't even know what the preacher said or nothing. He just said, oh, I felt good. Oh, I got a little tongue talking. And, you look good, boy. You look nice. They're all talking about what kind of clothes they got on, talking about how much money they got, talking about, oh, we got a program coming up, and it ain't got nothing to do with soul saving. And that's why you got so many weak Christians walking around here, don't know which way they go. Jesus Christ is the way to go. But what I'm saying, you need Christ. Confess with your mouth, believe with your heart that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. And the Bible says, thou shalt be saved. You need him right now. You need him right now. His name is King Philippe. King Philippe is the Antichrist. 54 years old. I've searched the scriptures. I've searched Whitaker, Cyclopedia. I've searched Britannica, Cyclopedia. I've been at commentaries and searched them. And I can't come up with nothing else but what I read in Daniel. I read Daniel where it talks about the 11th horn. And he said the 11th horn is the nation of Spain, because that was the nation that came up after the 10 toes. There's no other nation on this face of the planet that this man can come from but Spain. Spain is a descendant of Esau. And Israel is a descendant of Jacob. These are relatives, and they still got a confrontation to battle out, because Jeremiah 35 says the time of Jacob's trouble. God is going to finish the time of Jacob's trouble when Esau was trying to wipe out Jacob's family. 70 people he was trying to kill with 400 men, and this year is continuing on until the final battle of Armageddon. Hallelujah! Praise God! Thank you, Jesus, for your love and for your mercy, for your wisdom to know how to tell us about what's getting ready to happen. Brother Timothy Jackson, come on in here, man. Drop the hammer on me.
Amen.
Amen, bro.
All glory be to the Most High God. I'm not going to be before you long. Amen. Just
that's
trying
all right
to squeeze in here. Amen. It's
I
good
know
to be here. It's good to hear the word. Amen. It's good to be made aware of what's going on in this day and time. And as you said, man, you know, the world is quiet right now. And you don't hear the church saying nothing about the return of Christ. But what people don't realize is this is the perfect time for Christ to come back. Because why?
Yeah,
nobody's watching. Nobody's watching. And what I mean by that, nobody believes it. Not even the church. Not even the church. We know the world don't care. We know the world don't believe Christ. The world don't want Christ to come back ever, because they want to live in sin and filth and do their dirty deeds. They don't want Christ to come back.
That's right.
But the church, people in church don't believe that Christ is going to come back.
Come on,
and brother, you said a word when you said that when people are lost, they are going to hell. There are people out there that don't really believe that hell exists. They think hell is a myth. Hell is something that was made up during the time of the Greeks and the Romans. It's something that they made up. No, where do you think they got it from? Hell is real. Hell is real. And just like when saints die, well, I mean, when saints, amen, when saints get saved, amen, because see, once you're born again, that's it. You can never die in this life. But see, to be lost, Satan has to wait for what? See, God said, no, you can't take them while they're alive. You have to what? You have to actually die. I mean, that God is so graceful and merciful that he gives you until you leave this earth. He gives you all the opportunity. He leaves people on the earth for 50 years, 60 years, 70, 800 years, sometimes less, 20 or 30 years. But the point I'm making is God is so merciful that you have until you pass away in this life to get saved. That's why we teach salvation and why we teach for you to get saved right now. Don't wait. Don't worry about how the condition of your life. It don't matter if you're a prostitute, a drug dealer, a thief, a murderer, a lot. Get saved right now. It don't matter if you're locked up, if you're free, if you're in bondage. Get saved right now. Because,
come
see,
on,
the devil know one thing, that if you get saved before you close your eyes on this side, you're saved. And that's why he's using all this distraction and entertainment to keep you distracted from God. There's so much distraction right now. That's what Satan was when he was in heaven. He was an entertainer. That's what he did. He walked around entertaining. He was blessed. The brother said he was the first one that came from heaven with gold. He had gold on. He had diamonds. He had all this beauty on him. He could play nice sounds and make sounds with himself and make music. That's why the music world is so enticing, the entertaining world. So that's what Satan is. He is an entertainer.
Yeah.
Why do you think entertainers make all the money? Why is it that entertainers make more money than school teachers? Because that's
Come
what
on.
The devil was. He was
Ooh.
An entertainer. And he know as long as he can keep you distracted in this life, he said, I got you now. See, when you close eyes on this side, he said, I got you now. He clapping. All of hell, all the devils and demons and spawn angels are clapping their hand when you're in a hell. And it ain't clapping it for joy. It's nothing but crying and weeping and gnashing the teeth. Turn away. People are crying in hell right now. And the demons and Satan, they just clapping. All look at you now. You doing all that drinking and drugging and killing and murdering and cutting up and prostituting and whoring, and you never got saved, guess what? We're going to torture you down here, and you're going to be down here with us for all eternity. Man, let me tell you right now, there's a lot of folks that's leaving this world. Even the day before the sunset, before the clock strikes 12 midnight tonight, hundreds of thousands of souls have been and left this world. And the majority of them souls are going to you know where.
Come
They're
on.
Going to hell. The Bible says hell shall enlarge itself. And, man, when you hit on that, I said, boy, look her here. The souls that are leaving this world going to hell by the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands.
Come on.
And by the end of the month, over a million people will have been in, souls will be in hell. Month after month, over 12 million people a year die and go to hell. They say about 200 people die around the world. 200,000 to 300,000 souls die per day. That's a lot of people. You may not
That's
think
a lot of people.
The boy, death is working overtime and beyond time. 200 to 300,000 souls per day, that's a lot of people leaving this world. A lot of people, that's over a million people in 1 month have died. You think about the coronavirus, it took claimed almost in a year, 1 million people. You don't know that Satan, the devil's taking that many people in 1 month.
Come on now.
He's taking that many souls in 1 month. You talk about 1 year, a million people ain't a lot of people. It's Satan laughing at that, and I said, man, I get that in a month. A million people. I have about five, 6 million. By half a year. And majority of those people, I guarantee you, a great number of 95% of them. Because you think about the church, you look at the church, and if only less than 30% of the church is going to heaven, Lord, that's 70% lost that attend church. So can you imagine the people out there in the world that's dying, that ain't part of the church? That's going to hell every single day. Them demons, devils, fallen angels, Satan, Lucifer, they just clapping their hands. Oh, look at you. Welcome. Come on in. Just like heaven rejoices. See, heaven get to rejoice while you're still on earth. See, that's the benefit of being a saint. Heaven is going off when you get saved. All, but when you close your eyes, if you never confess with your mouth and never believe with your heart, Romans 10:9-10, which is the plan of sin. Those are two verses, and there are more verses like it in the Bible. But those two verses Paul wrote, he said, let me explain to you how you could become a child of God. See, what you got to understand, the Gospels, Christ was there with them. He walked and talked. He told them, hey, if you believe, it was no need to write. He preached the gospel. And said, he said, if you believe in me, amen. Ain't that what he said?
Amen.
He said, and all the miracles that he did, he said, but do thou believe? He want to know, hey, I saw you. I know you see me raise the dead and heal the sick and cause the lame to walk and the blind to see. But he said, do you believe? He said, wait a minute. He said, how did you know I was up under the tree? How'd you know that? He said, I know that you know that I saw you, but what I really want to know is, do you believe? That's the key.
Yeah.
That's why the Bible says without faith, it didn't say
come
without
on.
Work. The Bible will never say without works it's impossible to please God, because works don't get you into heaven. You can say it all
come
you
on,
want. You can believe it all you want. That's a lie from the pits of hell. And the devil's out here teaching that mess. And if you fall in that nonsense, the devil got you caught up. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God, because you got to have faith in God first before you can even work the works of him.
Come on. Come on, preacher.
Man, look at here.
Look
at here. The devil wants to trick you. He wants to connive you. The devil, so that's what he did with Eve in the garden. He sat back. See, the devil just don't approach. Like the brother said, the devil's smarter than any of us, anybody on the earth except for Christ. Anybody that's walked this earth, Satan is smarter than, except for Christ. That's why
that's
he
right.
can't defeat Christ. He can't
that's
defeat
right.
Christ. Satan just didn't swoop down to the Garden of Eden. He studied. He watched. He watched Adam and Eve. He said, huh.
Yeah.
He knew he had a plan. The devil always has a plan, because he comes from God. Because he know his heavenly father has a what? Plan.
Plan.
God has a plan for your life. God wants you to be saved. I want you to be saved. The watchman
yeah.
on the wall, Elder Bazaar, wants you to be saved. We want nothing more than for your soul to rest in heaven with God. Why don't
Come
you
on.
Want that? You're not missing nothing in the world.
No, you aren't.
You think if you give your soul to God, that you're going to really miss something on this earth. I'm here to tell you right now, you ain't missing nothing. The
no,
devil is lying. The devil got you blind if you think that you're missing something.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says all this shall pass. All this here shall pass. But what you don't want to miss, I got something for you. What you don't want to miss is heaven. You want to know why you don't want to miss heaven? There's so many beautiful benefits. I've told y'all before about the benefits that you're going to get.
Yeah.
When you get to heaven, you're going to get riches far more exceeding anything here on this earth. You're going to get to
Come
live
on.
For all eternity. You're going to get a new body. You're not going to have to deal with sickness and illness and blindness and deaf and dumbness or any broken limbs or any sickness, any fatalities. You're not going to have to deal with that ever again.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who don't want salvation? Amen. I am praying for you that you receive salvation. Romans,
yes.
the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. I say it all the time. Who don't want salvation? We don't want nobody to be lost. Amen. We want everybody to be saved. Let me read it to you here. Let me go to a real quick
ahead,
scripture.
Brother.
Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. I've been preaching it now for 22 years.
Amen.
Telling people about salvation. Amen. Telling about people how easy it is to get saved, even though most don't believe you because of what they've been taught in the churches. They think salvation is climbing a mountain. See, let me tell you something about the devil. The devil will make you think you ain't doing nothing if it ain't hard.
Come on.
Man, let me tell you something. Like I said yesterday, don't you know that the people at the top of the world got it easy? They don't do nothing. They don't do nothing hard. It's easy. All they do is sit back and make decisions. That's the easiest thing to do in the world, sit back and make a decision. Do I go left? Do I go right? Do I want the stock market to crash today, or do I want to be in the green? Do I want to be in the red? That's all the decisions they make. It's easy for them. They ain't got no degrees. I guarantee you, the people who run this world ain't got no degrees. They lying. They don't need no degrees. All they doing is serving the devil. It's the same thing people in Hollywood doing. They ain't got to be good at what they do. They just got to be stupid enough to sell their soul to the devil. That's all the devil
Come on
wants.
Now.
He just wants your soul. He said, if you give me your soul, I will give you the riches of the world. What do you think what he
all
told
right.
Christ? He said, if you bow down and worship me, he said, what? Man, if you don't get out of here, that won't ever happen. I won't never bow down. Why would I bow down to something that I created? Amen.
Come on, come
that's almost like That's almost like Pinocchio telling his maker that made him out of wood to bow down to him. What would Pinocchio's creator bow down to him and worship him? No, absolutely not. Hey, Pinocchio, I made you. Why in the world would I bow down to you? You think Christ is going to bow down to the devil? The devil is a lie. The devil is a lie. That's the see. People will believe a lie before they would the truth. This foolishness that you've been taught. Amen, brother. The foolishness they've been taught in church is mind-blowing to me. And folks just suck it up and just believe it. They listening to this motor, these entertainers. That's what I call them now. I don't even call them preachers no more. They listen to these entertainers in church and these motivational speakers in church, and they listen to that stuff.
Come on.
And they'll follow that to the T. Hey, man, look at here. The devil is lying to you. The people who run this world, why do you think the CEO of the company, do you think that they really at the top doing some real hardcore work? No. I've worked for banks and financial institutions most of my life, and I can tell you right now, them guys, that's why when you go to a job, your supervisor's job is easy. All he got to do is watch you and make sure you work. And the principal over him, just watch him and make sure he do. So the higher it goes, the easier it gets. All they do is they online, talking on the phone, eating lunch. They ain't doing no hard work. The people at the bottom do the hardest work. See, the devil got the world fooled. He got the world backwards. See, that's the way God had. God said, no. God said, it's easy. All you got to do is follow me. That's all you got to do.
On.
Just follow me. That's all I want you to do. Believe in me. Have faith. Because what? Having faith is easier than work. See, if you try to live right, that's hard. I'm just going to be real. It's hard to be perfect.
Come on.
I know I ain't perfect. It's hard to talk right all the time.
It's
hard to walk right all the time. That's why Paul wrote what he wrote. Paul said, that thing that I hate doing, I find myself doing. But that thing that I love, I find myself what? Not doing it. That's what Paul said. Amen. Paul was speaking something. Paul was really saying something to the church. But see, because your pastor don't study and read the Bible and break down the Bible, amen, he got most of folks in the church confused. You don't even know what's going on with definite church. Amen, because you're listening to somebody who ain't studying the word. Watch what Paul wrote. Let me show you proof since you think I made it up. Go to Romans, the 7th chapter, verse 14. Let me show you what Paul said.
You got it.
Paul
got
said,
it.
For we know that the law is what? Spiritual. Meaning it came from who? It came from God. That's where the law came from. And so if the law is spiritual, amen. We are flesh. Could we uphold the law? Absolutely not. That's why you can't what? That's why you can't live by works. That's why the Bible says that man can't live by what? Bread alone. Amen. It's going to take more than your works. Amen. It's going to take what? The blood. The precious
blood
of Christ. The blood. Come on and talk to me, doctor. It's the blood that has freed us from this bondage of sin. It's the blood that freed this old wretched man from a sinful life, from walking in sin and speaking in sin and seeing sin and hearing sin and doing sin. It's the blood of Christ that has freed me and washed my robe, amen, in the blood and freed it from the stain of sin. They ain't ready for this, doctor. Watch what it says. It says, but I am carnal. What is it saying? It shows you the difference between the spiritual and the carnal. Amen. The flesh and the spiritual realm. He said, I am born in sin, soul under sin. Because when you are born in sin, have you ever noticed that when you watch your children, you ain't got to show your babies nothing bad. You ain't got to talk bad in front of your kids. I remember when my babies were little, and I remember watching them because, you know, amen. I watched my wife and the children, and I, you know, my wife was used to raising kids and dealing with kids because she had raised nieces and nephews and always babysitting kids. So when we had a baby, I was new to it. And I watched my son. I'm like, I said, look at this rascal. I said, where did he get that from?
Come on.
Cutting up and acting bad. I said, don't you do that. You better not. And he looked at me and smiled. He did it anyway. I said, look at that joker. Where did he get that from?
Uh-huh.
That told me years later after I got saved. I said, you know what? We ain't got to be taught to do wrong. Because when Adam and Eve disobeyed God, that sent man to a frenzy of sin. We are born in sin. Amen. So in other words, you were born losing. You were born fighting a losing battle. You were going to lose anyway without Christ. That's why God had to send his only begotten son to redeem us from sin. Now watch what Paul said. Let me get back to what Paul said.
Go ahead.
Amen. Let me get back to the word. Verse 15 says, for what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But that I hate, that I do. See, amen. What all Paul is simply saying to you is I love to read the word. I love to listen to the gospel music. I love to show love. I love to talk right, act right. But for some reason, I find myself not continuously doing that all the time. See, Paul said that thing that I hate doing, sitting up, being lazy, not doing nothing, not talking right, saying things I ain't got no business saying, looking at things I ain't got no business looking at, doing things I ain't got no business doing. Paul said, that's what I find myself doing. Amen. That's what the scripture says. Don't look at me. Look at what Paul said. It's in your Bible. If you read and study your Bible, you'll know what it said. I'll read it for you again. Paul said in verse 15, he said, for that which I do, I allow not. In other words, reading the Bible. But for some reason, I don't do it all the time, every day like I should. I don't study and read my Bible like I'm supposed to. But he said, for what I would, that I do not. Amen. But
come
what
on.
I hate, that I do. So instead of me showing love and listening to gospel music and studying and reading the Bible, I sit up and watch TV most of the day. Hey, man, I go hang out with my wife. We go to the store. We do some things. I don't give my time to God. Hey, man, sometimes you may say some things you ain't got no business saying. Sometimes people be talking about people. Hey, man, we know how we are. You shouldn't be talking about folks, but do we do it? Yes, we do. I'm guilty of it. You guilty of it. We all guilty of it.
Come on.
None of us perfect. But Paul said, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth what? No good thing. See, you thought it was just me. That don't mean that you're not saved. We all sin. We all fall short of the glory of God. But Paul said, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, Paul said, watch what Paul, he went out on the limb and said, but the evil which I would, not that I do. We all sin. We all do evil. The only difference between me and the man and woman that's in the world that don't believe is I have faith in God. I've given my life to God. I've simply confessed with my mouth and believe in my heart. And therefore, it has set my life. My walk is totally different. I don't do a whole lot of things that I used to do anymore. It don't mean that I don't sin every now and then. It don't mean that I don't fall. I don't say things I shouldn't say or do things I shouldn't do. It just simply means that my walk is different now. I don't live in routine with sin. Amen. I am not a sinner. I don't live a sinful lifestyle, which is continuously in sin and then neglect God and speak against God. That's the difference. Watch what Paul said. I'm going to turn back over to the brother. Verse 20 says, now if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. There it is.
Yes.
I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. The devil and sin is going to follow you to the grave. It's been following man ever since Adam has came out of the garden. The only man that sin followed and couldn't cause the sin was Christ. And that's why we have salvation. Brother, God bless you. I'm going to be listening. Amen. The doors of the church. Amen. I've given them to you. The plan of salvation. Come on to this side. We love you. We don't want to see nobody lost. The time is near. We believe that Christ is on the brink of opening that sky and coming to get the church. Amen. Brother, I love
Amen.
You. I'm going to be listening. I'm going to talk to you after the show. Amen. But I want to come on. I thank you for letting me come on and share
come
that
on,
word.
You know you
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Go ahead, doctor. I'm going to be here listening.
All right.
God
all right.
bless you.
We thank Brother Jackson for that. We thank him for his input in the Word of God. Anything that comes out of the Word of God is good for the input for our benefit to know, amen, the salvation that we acquire is eternal. Amen. In other words, nobody can take my salvation, not even the devils in hell. Because after you get saved, that don't mean that if you sin, you're lost. That means that you're still human. That means you're still in a carnal body. You're still in the flesh. And we're warring against not flesh and blood, but against the prince power of the air. And we're in a time now where it is called the end time, end time. And we realize that end time began in 1948. That was the beginning of the end time. When Israel became a nation in 48, that was the beginning of the last generation. This generation will end in 2029. So in that concept of 80 years, the Bible quotes out that it will be evil and evil and evil continually. Evil men shall wax worse and worse, and the love of many shall wax cold. And we're living in that last ultimate generation, few years left. Amen. Revelation is getting ready to be opened up because we are living in the Laodicean church age. The Laodicean church age is called the lukewarm, hypocritical, humanist church where men have a form of godliness, but they ain't got no power, the power to live for Christ. Because when you're living for Christ, amen, you got a Christ mind. Your soul is in Christ. Your soul is in hidden in Jesus Christ. You are willing to go the mile and yon beyond to warn the world, that let me tell you, Jesus is coming. In the fourth chapter of Revelation, it gives us a picture of the rapture of the church. The rapture of the church is when Christ comes and gets his body. He's got a body down here, amen, and it's operating, amen. We got weak Christians. We got hard-headed Christians. We got backsliding Christians that need to get up on the horse and start riding for Christ because they're slothful and unconcerned. Amen. And remember this now, all believers, all born-again believers will be at the judgment seat of Christ, and we will be judged for our works that we have done here on earth. That's the born-again believer, not the unbeliever. The unbeliever don't know nothing about Jesus Christ, don't know nothing about the Holy Spirit, have not been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, have not repented of their sin. They will be left here on earth. And by them being left here on earth, they will have to face the tribulation period, which begins in the fourth chapter of Revelation. The fourth chapter of Revelation is the gateway for the church to be excommunicated because John said, I saw heaven open. And when I saw heaven open, guess what? He said, immediately I was caught up in the spirit. So when Jesus Christ comes back, he's going to change. Oh, God Almighty. He's going to change this mortal, dilapidated body. This body it's got sin in it. As the brothers just got through talking about Paul, Paul was a Holy Ghost filled man. And yet still, he said, I still have problems with this carnality.
Amen. The things that I wanted to do, I couldn't do it, didn't know how to perform it. And then he come down and said, oh, whoa, whoa, wretched man that I am. Who can deliver me from this body of death? He said, I thank God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I got the victory because I know one day this mortal body will be changed to immortality and I will be caught up to meet the Lord in air, and then I can speak across the universe and say, oh, death, where's your sting? Oh, grave, where's your victory? For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So the church is going on. We're getting ready to go. We're getting ready to fly away. We're getting ready to hear the trumpet. We're getting ready to disappear in a what? In a moment. In a moment of a twinkling of an eyeball. And immediately the church will be caught up. Oh, my God. It's going to be so fast. It's going to be so unique that the clothes that you got on still going to be standing when this mortal body be changed to immortality. And we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and get rewarded, not for salvation. Salvation's already taken care of. You repented of your sin, now you're going to be judged for your works. There's two types of works, gold, silver, and brass, wood, hay, and stubble. Those that take that have the gold, silver, and brass is going to put in the fire. And you know when you put gold and silver in the fire and brass, it comes out, ooh, more glory than when before you put it in. Then there's wood, hay, and stubble. That's the works of the flesh. What you've done in the flesh as a Christian, amen, is going to burn up. It's going to be worthless. Why? Because it was done in the flesh. And the flesh profited nothing. But the Spirit of God profited all things. And those that did the work of Christ in the Spirit for Christ's sake, not for my sake. Everything you do for Christ through the Holy Spirit, you will receive a reward. And that reward will be crowns. Crowns. Woo, hallelujah. I'm striving for those crowns. I'm running for those crowns. I cry for those crowns. I work for those crowns. Everything I do through Christ, amen, is for the crowns. And when I get to heaven, guess what I'm going to have to do with the crown? I'm going to have to lay it at the feet of Jesus. Hallelujah! Lay it at the feet of Jesus. And thank God that the only way I got that crown, listen to what I'm saying now. The only way I got that crown is I was saved, sanctified, and I did it through the Spirit, and that Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. There's an old song said, "What only thing will stand is what you do for Christ. And only thing that's going to stand is what you do for Christ after you get saved." You can't do nothing for Christ until you receive Christ. I guess I can fathom that. You can't get nothing for working for Christ if you don't know Christ. But when you know Christ, you're doing it through Jesus Christ. I'm not preaching this word on my own. I'm not preaching this word. I'm not praying on my own. I'm praying through Jesus Christ. Everything I do it in and through Jesus Christ. The fourth chapter gives you the picture of the rapture. The fifth chapter gives you the picture of the judgment seat of Christ. The sixth chapter, back on earth, we see the four horses of apocalypse begin to ride. The white horse represents the Antichrist. The red horse represents the Third World War, which will be started by Gog and Magog, which is Russia. That's the red horse. The black horse represents famine, which is starvation will come during the tribulation period. The pale, look sick, and look horse represents death, hell, and the grave, and bacteria and germs that will swoop over the earth. And then it says, I saw the fifth one open, and I saw the altars of those that were slain, and those are the tribulation saints that were slain after the rapture of the church, because God says, I got a work to do after the rapture. I got a work to do after the rapture. What is the work going to be done by? Who is going to do it? How are people going to get saved after the rapture of the church? Will the Holy Spirit still be here? Yes. Yes. The Holy Spirit will still be here. The Holy Spirit will be taken that's in the church. If you got the Holy Ghost, you're out of here. Oh, hallelujah. You're out of here like a speeding bullet. You're going to meet Christ at the judgment seat of Christ. But those that are left here, they got to stay here, and while they are here, they are going to be hearing the gospel that's going to be preached, and guess who by? It's going to be preached by the Jewish people. The Jewish people are going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. The church for 2,000 years has been preaching the gospel of grace, but now the Jews will be preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The Jews will become the head of the nations of the world to proclaim the message of salvation and the building of the millennium reign, which will be starting after the tribulation is over. And the Jews will be consisted of how many? Look here, 144,000 Jews on the earth will be preaching for 3.5 years. Get me now. The news media, NBC, ABC, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, and all the other talks will be broadcast live. I mean live, brother. And the world will hear for the first time in world history, the Jews will be claiming Jesus Christ as their Messiah and that he's coming back to set up the millennial kingdom. And it will be preached 3.5 years equals what? 42 months. 42 months. 42 months equals what? How many days? 1,260 days. They will be preaching January, February, March, April, May, June, July, August, September, October, another year. January, another year, January, another year, January to March. And when March come in, we'll be in the middle of the tribulation, and to tell me the devil is going to rage against these 144,000 and kill them, and God is going to redeem them from the earth. And guess what happens? Woo, hallelujah, praise God. And old John looked at it and seen after they had got through preaching, 144,000, 12,000 from each tribe, 12,000 times 12 equals 144,000. After they get through preaching, they cause a great revival. How big is the revival? A universal revival. Oh, y'all ain't never seen nothing like that. A universal revival. Because the whole world is going to hear the gospel, and there will be millions of people redeemed by the blood of the Lamb through the preaching of the 144,000. And John looked after the 144,000 was through, and he asked a question. Brother Bazaar, listen to me. And what did they say? And I'm getting ready to almost get out of here. I got 10 minutes. But what did they say? They said this after the 144,000 that got through. And he says that after this, I beheld, lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations. You hear what I said? All nations and kindreds and people and tongues stood before the throne, hallelujah, before the Lamb, clothed in white robes and palms in their hand. I'm getting ready to roll on now. He said, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God sitteth upon the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around and about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. You talking about worshiping. Here we go. And saying, amen. Blessed and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever, amen. And then look what happened. It says, and one of the elders answered and asked the question. And he said, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence did they? Where did these people come from? How in the world, after the church has been raptured up, I see a number that no man can number. How did they come about? They came about by the preaching of 144,000 Jews.
and nations and kingdoms and tongues and languages, and they heard them preach in the gospel of the kingdom of God, and millions of people received Jesus Christ. And I said unto him, Sir, knowest thou, knowest, and he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robe. Hallelujah. Listen what it said. Come on, theologians. Come on, preachers. Come on, deacons. Come on, bishops. Look what it says. And have washed their robe and made them white. You hear what I said? That means their soul, their robe, their spirit. Has made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Your soul washed in the blood of the Lamb. Your soul is white as snow. Your soul is pure. Your soul is secure. And these people received Jesus Christ during the tribulation period. And it's a world, they're not, it's a world dominion that the people heard the gospel. And when they heard it, they received Christ. Therefore, are they before the throne of God. Serve him day and night, and in the temple, and he sitteth upon the throne, shall dwell among them, good God Almighty, and they shall hunger no more, neither shall any more, and there shall be the sun shall not smoke them any more, nor heat upon them any more. For the Lamb of God, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them into everlasting fountains of water. And God Almighty, hallelujah, God Almighty, not Buddha, not Shintoism, not Buddhism, no form of denomination. Good God shall wipe away my tears. No, nobody can give me a new body. Nobody but God Almighty through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that wiped away all my tears from my eyes. You talking about crying now, but when you get to heaven, there ain't going to be no more crying. And this crying will be done away with. And God himself will save the world as far as those that's in the tribulation period. The tribulation period is going to be one of the most dynamic, awesome revival that ever hit the four corners of the earth. Church time is over. The church will be in heaven. And guess what? We are going to see every bit of what goes on earth. Hallelujah! Everything that be going on during the tribulation, we are going to be witnesses of our works that we have done before we left here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And thank God that we are not trying to get to heaven off our works. We're getting to heaven from the blood of Jesus Christ that flowed from his veins while he was hanging on cross. Why it was flowing from his veins, his capillary burst in the Garden of Gethsemane, and it came, the blood came through his skin. It was so much pressure on his physical body that it busted the blood vessels inside of his body. That's how much pressure sin put on him. And he said, let your will be done. And Jesus Christ took my sin and nailed them to the cross and hung for me, died for me, suffered for me, got up out the grave for me. Not only me, but for the whole human race. And the human race is saying today, I don't want it. Well, let me tell you something. If you don't want Jesus Christ, and I'm gonna tell you the way I look at it. You're the biggest fool that ever walked the face of the earth. You a fool on top of a fool. Because the brother Jackson said, now look, hell ain't no joke. Hell is real and more than real. Hell is a place where if you refuse Christ, you will guarantee you no comeback. Spend eternity forever in a lake of fire where there will be burning and brimstone, and there will be five things I guarantee you won't take the hell with you. I can't take my 2004 and power to heaven with me. I can't take my blazer to heaven with me. I can't take my house to heaven with me. And you can't take nothing you got to hell with you. Everything you got, you're not going to tell the undertaker to put a U-Haul behind my hearse. And when you put me in the grave, I want you to dump everything in the grave with me. And what I'm trying to do, I'm trying to take it to hell with me. But you won't be able to take it. The only five things you can take to hell with you. You can take your eyesight. You'll have that. You can take your smell. You'll have that. You can take your taste. You'll have that. You can take your hearing. You'll have that. And you can take your memory. You'll have that. Five things you will have in hell. No water. No beer joints, no whole houses, no pool room, no parties, nothing but agony and misery and regret. You'll be crying for relief, gnashing and gashing. If you don't go, Brother Bazaar, Jesus said, don't go. Well, Brother Bazaar said, don't go. I agree every bit what Jesus said, don't go to hell. He said, what I did for you, I did it to save you from hell. Let me take Christ in. Let me take your soul and put it in my hand. Let me walk inside of you. The only thing you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that I actually, uniquely, genuinely, a fact on top of a fact, by faith, let me come into your life and save you from your sins. Basically, one sin I want to save you from is unbelief, because that's one sin that will put everybody in hell. That's the one that's going to put you in hell. And anything other than that, if you're saved and you sin after you get saved, that won't put you in hell. Your unbelief, your rejection of Jesus Christ will put you in hell. Don't go. Confess your mouth right now. Get a big mouth. Get a confession mouth. I confess with my mouth that Jesus Christ loved me so much. And I confess with my mouth. And I believe in my heart that God Almighty raised his son from the dead for my justification and let him come on in. And when he come in, guess what? You have a changed life. And you'll never be the same anymore. Jesus Christ is coming back. Coming back. Church, if there's anybody out there listening to me, Jesus Christ is coming back. This is Brother Bazaar telling you, receive Christ today. The war of Gog and Magog is coming up shortly. It's going to be war like a never war, third world war. And it's going to end up to more wars coming up and building up to the battle of Armageddon. And the battle of Armageddon is when Jesus Christ comes back with the church. And we're going to fight in Jerusalem. And the blood is going to get so high up to the horse's bridle. And the moon is going to turn red with high blood pressure. And the sun is going to get embarrassed and go out. And the Son of Righteousness is going to rise out of the east, Jesus Christ. He's going to come, the glorious church, and he's going to rule and reign. And before the last 3.5 years are over, God is going to send Moses and Elijah back to the earth. And they're going to preach the last 3.5 years. And the world is guaranteed going to hear the gospel. And Jesus Christ said, I will not come back until the world hears the full gospel. And that's going to happen. Receive Christ today. Only thing you got to do is confess with your mouth right now. Jesus Christ, I'm a sinner. I'm sorry for my sin. I'm willing enough to turn from my unrighteousness, my unbelief, and believe on your son. I want you to come into my life right now, Jesus. Just come on in. You're welcome to come in. My spirit is in repentance right now. I'm willing enough to turn from my self-thing, my self-gizmo, my self-thinking, and let you come on in
and make me meek, mild, and loving, and caring for your building and upwork of your kingdom by your blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Elder G. Bizarre coming to you from Warren, Ohio. I'll see you. Woo.